George Capanelli here. Welcome to another edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I am Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, interspersed, as always, with great music.
Our topic, do you remember? We're going to look back at some of the things we used to value and we're proud of, and also some of the things that were not so great about the past, and explore the choices we can make and some of the things we believe it's not too late to do to regain some of the sense of value we have in the lives we're living. You'll also hear the next part of that great conversation Alan had with wise man and author Thomas More in his book, A Religion of One's Own.
And we have music. Barbara Streisand with Some Higher Ground. Kenny Loggins comes in with Convictions of the Heart. And Eva Cassidy over the classic Over the Rainbow. Our special features today, George and I will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Sedina with A Valuable and Live and Aging Strategy. And George will close with one of his By George commentaries.
Hey, so welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
Walk me over this horizon. Let the sun's light warm my face once again.
Don't be afraid to take a big step if one is indicated. You cannot cross a chasm in two small jumps. This quote by David Lloyd George, British politician and statesman, leads us into our subject. Do you remember? This question leads many of us to remember and talk about things we valued about life, the lives we used to live here in America. Things about our families, our towns, our nation, and the world we used to live in. Things that sometimes lead us to conclude that life in the past seemed, at least in our minds, in sharp contrast to the noisy, complex, sometimes angry and divided, mired in confusion, and often dysfunctional, challenging world we seem to live in today. We have to admit that when our remembering begins to bring up some sadness and confusion, we're sometimes inclined to stop the conversation and drift off to other less challenging topics. But at the same time, we understand that this "do you remember" question is not just rhetorical. It's very real and important, and unless we're willing to ask it often enough and consider it honestly enough, unless we allow it to bring up both the joy as well as the sorrow, even the shame that lies in parts of the past, we will not be faithful to this path of greater truth and consciousness. And we will, in fact, be mirroring the very things we find ourselves criticizing in judgment in those who today call themselves leaders and yet who seem to be blindly leading us toward the brink. So here are some questions, some answers. Do you remember that come up for us?
Do you remember? Good question. When a person's word was their bond? When a handshake sealed a deal? When public service actually meant both service and upholding the public trust? Do you remember when companies had a genuine sense of responsibility for the people who made them successful, when healthcare was an actual benefit and not the only reason you sometimes stayed at an unsatisfying job?
Do you remember when a pension and Social Security meant you would actually retire with enough money to live on in your later years, years you had earned for a lifetime of hard work? Do you remember when doing a good job was something you took pride in, when quality and performance meant made in America?
Do you remember when reporters were reporters and not entertainers and political shills? When doctors were doctors and not entrepreneurs? When investment advisors were advisors and not salesmen, gamblers, and hucksters?
Do you remember when the law was considered a most honorable profession and public office was something people were proud to hold, held on behalf of the people who elected them and the Constitution they were sworn to serve?
Do you remember when we tried to live an honorable way of life in which there was trust between us and our neighbors, us and our companies, between us and our government?
Do you remember when we had a genuine compassion for others less fortunate and did not consider them a burden or a social blur? When we understood that it was our responsibility to care for our aging parents and grandparents who we actually honored and whose opinions and experience we valued? Interesting questions and answers, aren't they? Interesting, provocative, eye and mind-opening questions and answers. Of course, when we look back at the past, we also tend to look with selective memory, remembering what we liked and avoiding some other less than attractive and palatable stuff. So let's go a little deeper and find some of these things as well.
You know, George, that's why history is important. I mean, this is real. I'm reminding myself of the best.
Yeah.
Do you remember when 50% of women who became pregnant died in childbirth? When women had the right to vote, but not a whole lot of other rights? The right to work at jobs they wanted to work at? The right to expect equal pay and rise to the top? The right to speak their own opinion and to have their own identity honored?
Do you remember when people of color were treated as chattel? When they could not vote, could not own property, were relegated to the back of the bus, to the backwaters of life, to conditions of indignity and public abuse. And the majority of people who were white accepted these practices as being okay.
And do you remember when gay and transgender people were maligned, abused, denied their rights to live with dignity, and often killed for their sexual preferences? When each new wave of people immigrating to the shores from foreign countries were considered inferior members of minorities and treated accordingly?
See what we mean about selective memory? Still, even with these and other gross omissions and not very laudable practices, when we look back on our lives in this country at an earlier time, we look back on a life that seems, at least from this perspective, to be based on the valuing of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. More about our willingness to believe that we were moving through times. Now, we moved through them circuitously and painfully, but we moved in the direction of a reality that said one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. So we invite you to ask yourself, do you remember? Do you remember? What do you think?
Good question. Maybe Barbara has an answer. Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Once again I lost my way, while the words of ancient poets fall like dust upon my shoes. Greed has robbed me of my vision, turned my heart from higher truths. So take my hand and lift me higher.
Come back to The Revolution, Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
All right, we are back. Thomas Moore, our featured guest in conversation, in a multiple-part discussion. I kind of put a sharp end to that last segment because I wanted to give you a lot of time to discuss those questions that you early on bring through in the book about the rapidly changing world and how that fits in with religion. Should I live with what it is? Should I resist change and keep my religion traditional, or should I rethink what religion is all about? So I'm going to. Now we got plenty of time. It's the ball's in your hand, so to say.
Well, first of all, I don't want to tell people what they should do. I think that people can trust their own inspiration, and everyone's at a different point in their lives in this regard. So I think all three approaches are okay. You can decide to stay with your tradition, at least now. That's your decision now. It makes sense to stay with a community you're familiar with, and you may be devoted to it. I think that's absolutely fine. It's a very good choice. It's a choice my parents made, and I don't know people who were better served than they were in their religious lives. So that's something you can do. On the other hand, today, great numbers of people are saying, no, I don't want to stay with this traditional form anymore. And many are leaving religion altogether. And I think that option takes you into a secular world where everything's explained factually and by means of things that can be measured. And that's materialism. And I think that is death, because there's no soul in that. We become objects and machines in that direction. So I don't go for that way, although I understand that any person might need a break. I had one myself for several years where I left religion and had nothing to do with it until I was able to refigure the whole thing. So I obviously, in this book, want to support the idea of going in the third direction, which is to reimagine this whole thing. And to do it with the help of the traditions, not just on your own, but still to do it for yourself.
You know, this rapidly changing times statement is the common verbiage I hear from people when I talk with them all the time, whether it's related to radio or just their personal lives. Things are moving so fast right now. And I think I brought up Dark Night of the Soul and wanted you to maybe address this place where we're not connected sometimes, no matter what we do. You know, you can light a candle on your personal meditation area. You can sit with a group of people, and maybe somebody's having an experience of connectivity to the divine, as we spoke about before. But these dark nights of the soul, or these initiatory journeys, or shamans would say, traveling the underground, are part of life. And I think we need to integrate them in some way and know that, as the song lyric goes, this too shall pass, or the biblical term to the song lyric, this too shall pass. So what do you say about dark night periods and rapidly changing world situations?
Well, everybody has these dark nights, and everybody has a moment when things just don't seem to be going anywhere and you feel stuck. As a therapist myself, I see a big part of my job is to help people be patient and stay with that, with the emptiness of it. Now, in my book, Dark Nights of the Soul, I do suggest that. I suggest trying to find various ways to honor that emptiness and even the feeling of darkness and maybe even hopelessness that may go with it. I do this all the time with people. I just try to be with them not try to relieve myself or them by finding a way out and rushing to a conclusion, being patient and letting this period be there, because it doesn't have to be a bad thing in itself, but it does help to have somebody who can encourage you to be patient with yourself and stay in these periods, and eventually they leave. For almost everybody, they go away, and there's a renewal of life at the end of them. But you can't cheat it. You can't be in it and thinking, oh, I'm going to get renewed. When is it coming? You have to be in the process. You have to be in that place of emptiness. That's not a bad place to be, really. It's if we can make a part of the rhythm of our lives, we can accomplish it.
Yeah. Somewhere you said nothing is more important than bringing the soul to everything we do. And even when it appears the soul's or divine is absent, something is there still. And maybe our ego, persona, personality is really creating the darkness, although external circumstances may be very difficult, because I know you counsel people on deep-seated problems. You talk about that in the book, too. You know, they don't even know what marriage is, or they're depressed. And that energetic that I spoke about is pressing in on a lot of us these days. The disappearing middle class, the accumulation of a lot of wealth in the hands of the few, call it oligarchy, plutocracy, they play in on our ability for to be soulful.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to realize that part of care of your soul is to be out there in the world and trying to make it a more soulful world. It's not just about adjusting to a bad scene. We have to make our world more soulful. It's not just in us, but it's also out there.
Uh-huh. We talked a little bit about spirituality, spirit, and this part of soul. Again, how do we define spirituality and religion? I just I want to review that with you. And this religion is not an abandonment of what many people may have learned from some of their times in the churches or the edifices or the organization, but it's to feel something internal that I would call the spirit moving.
Spirituality has I think primarily to do with developing one's awareness, first of all, of the fact that there's more to the world than material. That's what spiritual means. It means you get beyond the material world. You realize that there's something else. It doesn't have to be factually there, but you realize there's a dimension to life, to yourself, and to the world around you that can't be spoken of only in factual material terms. Like I said before, you look at a lake, you can measure it, you can talk about it as H2O, as water. Or you can say that this is a presence that does something to me. I sit in front of it, and I feel better, and I need to be there, or I'm drawn to water. Those are all mysterious factors, and they are more the spiritual life. And I think as we become more spiritual people, we're able to live in relationship to those mysterious elements that are very important to us, but they're not factual. But the world around us, our education, our science, our politics, is all materialistic. It aims pretty much at getting along in the world at the material level. So first of all, to be spiritual means to get beyond that materialism.
I like that. And again, bringing natural law or living closer to nature as part of spirit, because the earth itself, Mother Earth, Gaia, has a spirit. All elements that we would even call material are molecules in motion in some way. So, and this is the Tao. So I think, and we're a little out of balance with our ecology and what we're creating with global warming. So just briefly, and we'll take another break, we need to get closer to the natural rhythms of life, no?
We need to be closer to them. They are bigger than us. Nature is bigger than us and can be the stepping stone out of our own individuality and materialism into a much greater world.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take another break here in a serialized conversation. I had the good fortune of a longtime friend and associate to the radio show and broadcasting, Thomas Moore, the best-selling author of a number of books. This one now released in paperback, A Religion of One's Own. It's a guide to creating a personal spirituality in a secular world. Very appropriate for these times that we talked about. We'll take a break here and come back and continue.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
George and Alan back. Again, you know, Thomas is such an interesting man. I was having a conversation with him one day, and I said to him, Thomas, I said, you give a whole new definition to the word soul food, you know?
Soul food, soulful, soul mates. Yeah. I mean, he took soul and wrote about it for what, 20 years? New York Times bestselling book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the chance to hang out with him over lunch here in Santa Fe when he was actually presenting. And he's just, you can feel it. He's just a beautiful man, and he's in his soul when he speaks.
Yeah. One of the things I think you two talked about that was so it's so important, and that's the idea of being patient, the idea of staying with what's going on. I mean, we live in a culture where I call it the aspirin culture, where we've just, we have so many ways of avoiding what's happening. And yet the thing that ultimately gets us through our moments is to be with them. And yet we've been trained and domesticated, as Don Miguel Ruiz would say, to avoid them. And there's so much wisdom in that simple piece of advice. And yet sometimes it's really hard to put into action.
Yeah, well, our go, go, go material world, and he pointed out about materialism, exacerbates and supports the doing. And, you know, patience is a stop. As the mantra last week in the Rudy rap, but take your time, take your time. So I like that he also, you know, points out about the secular world, the science, we're into facts and materialism. No, he is saying we need to go inside, blending tradition, the personal, inner knowing, and even because this secular world does show shadow. Sides of people. We're seeing the shadow in government. We're seeing the shadow in the materialism, and we're seeing shadow in the world. But we have the inner shadow, which creates the outer shadow. And he's saying, you know, you gotta go inside when it's happening. Stay with the emptiness. Stay with the hopelessness. And don't rush to a conclusion. That's important. Take your time.
Yeah. And I also liked that he opened that segment. You asked him a question and he said, you know, I don't really want to tell people what to believe. I don't want to tell people what form of religion or God or spirituality that they should be practicing. That's something that we discover. And I think that if we have patience and we have courage and we have willingness, we ask the right questions. What happens eventually is that we discover what we're here to discover.
Yeah, well, this thing about, he doesn't want to tell people what to believe. I think that's a good start. How about telling people that maybe they don't know what the truth is, and maybe they need to put their beliefs on the back burner for a while and be a part as you go to the inside of yourself and discover what you maybe didn't know or what your beliefs were that are no longer appropriate, bring them to the outer world. Don't stay inside. It's not about zafus and meditations for the rest of your life. You help create a 3D world with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let's see what Kenny Loggins has to say about that.
Where are the dreams that we once had? This is the time to bring them back. What were the promises caught on the tips of our tongues? Do we forget or forget? There's a whole other life waiting to be lived. One day we're brave enough, tongue with conviction of the heart.
So, time for You Gotta Be Kidding. As you'll notice, these last several weeks, Alan and I have taken a break from just the hard news, the ridiculous and the absurd and the sometimes inspirational. And we've looked in You Gotta Be Kidding at some of the themes of our shows for the day. So, our theme today is Do You Remember? And so, we're going to look just for a couple of minutes at some of the both positive and negative things we remember about our past here in America. And the first one is innocence and trust. Now, some of that is just, you know, that we grew up in our own innocence and trust. But there was a time, and not that terribly long ago in America, when people did have a greater sense of innocence and trust. They believed in certain values. There was a greater trust of neighbors and friends and government and all the rest of it. It was a simpler way of life, right?
I think it was. And, you know, it gets back to the questions that you and I posed. As I said, I love the questions in the very beginning. And can you remember what the core was of what you trusted in the past? How do you find that deeper inner place of trust? And I quote one of my friends, Brad Blanton, who's the truth doctor, and he wrote one of the first books that blew me away, Radical Honesty. How do you trust what's truthful in what's being said? And I think it's developing your, as he said, your BS detector. And that comes from listening and paying attention and, again, being in history, going back, and what worked in the past that you know that was true or it seemed to be a good axiom for living your life, you know?
Well, you know, it was an age in which there were – I mean, it wasn't that there wasn't evil or challenge or difficulty or whatnot, but by and large people were able to rely on one another. There wasn't the degree of manipulation and crassness that in America that began in many ways with the Reagan administration and a political kind of gamesmanship, at least in the modern era. A guy by the name of Lee Atwater, who changed American politics and made lying and manipulation just the currency of our time.
Where do I know that name from? Was he a PR guy?
Yeah, he was a campaign manager.
Campaign manager, yeah.
Close to the end of his life, had, I think, a brain issue and recanted most of what he did. He said he was sorry for it, but he turned politics into an age of schoolyard bullies. You know?
Well, if you look at another maybe question, as part of these questions, are you willing to evaluate your life based on the values that we talked about historically that we asked you to relook at rather than economic? See, economics has taken over. Me being an old accountant of my 12 years at Smith Kline then, I learned that, you know, it was always about the bottom line, but it's not about the bottom line. So how do we, George and all of us, how do we change those values of money first into heart first, love first, truth first, you know?
Well, that, I think, is part of the work of consciousness of the era that we're living in. And along with that is eventually we have to stop our hypocrisy about the abuse of the rights and dignity of others, you know?
Yeah.
It's all balled into the same thing, whether it's the loss of innocence and trust, the abuse of rights, the willingness to look beyond economics as the only standard, the willingness to not trust technology and science as the only gods of our time. So we have some work to do, or we'll all be saying, are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah. Well, and just the last thing about Thomas More, you got to connect up with nature. You know, we live on this planet. It's Mother Earth. And if you don't get in balance with that, then you will not know the divine ever. You'll only know materialism. All right.
Back to Kenny.
Kenny. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Kenny. All right. Let's hear him, man. Hey, Kenny.
But not mine. Such is the path I chose. Doors I had opened and closed. I'm tired of living this life, fooling myself, leaving where I was. I've never given love with any conviction of the heart.
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
George and Alan back for the fourth segment of the show. Let's begin it with another wise Enlivened Aging strategy.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging strategy is Let the Sun Shine In. According to Native American teachings, Grandfather Sun rises in the east as we begin a new dawn, bringing renewal, inspiration, and illumination into our lives. In the indigenous medicine wheel, the direction of east represents change and new beginnings. The sun rising in the east empowers each of us, giving us the energy to do and to begin the action of the mind and heart. Dr. Michael Holick, MD of the Boston University School of Medicine, says that your overall well-being depends partly on developing an appropriate relationship with the sun. Many other experts agree that limited, unprotected exposure to the sun is vital for good health. Vitamin D prevents osteoporosis, depression, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and even affects diabetes and obesity. Vitamin D is an underrated nutrient and is absolutely free, since our bodies make it when sunlight touches our skin. It is nearly impossible to get adequate amounts of vitamin D from our diet. So since sunlight exposure is the only reliable way to generate vitamin D in our bodies, it makes sense to create an appropriate relationship with the sun so that we can take advantage of this immune-enhancing vitamin. Our bodies will self-regulate vitamin D, generating only the amount that it needs. Of course, we need to take care not to indulge in prolonged exposure to the sun, since it can lead to sunburn, wrinkles, and even some skin cancers. If we use a good sunscreen with natural ingredients, it will block potentially harmful rays so we can enjoy the benefits of this most powerfully healing vitamin with no prescription required. I often use an eye exercise called sunning. I go outside and for a minute or two with my eyes closed, I lift my face up to the sun. As I do this, I also rotate my head slowly from side to side, allowing the sun to pass gently across my closed eyelids. Sunning allows the light into the retina and improves overall vision. So remember to be outside and to remove your glasses or contact lenses. Nature provides the healing warmth of the sun and feeds our spirits. So include Let the Sun Shine In your Enlivened Aging backpack and go to EnlivenedAging, AGEING.com for more. Many blessings.
Eva Cassidy and yeah. Somewhere Over the Rainbow here.
What a remarkable voice.
Yeah, but let's go to you and a provocative commentary if you've got one. I've been calling him By George.
Yeah, By George. All right. Okay. So by David Lloyd George, we open the show with the quote, "Don't be afraid to take a big step if one is indicated. You cannot cross a chasm or chasm, depending on how you like pronouncing it, in two small jumps." So here in this closing section, let's ask another and related question. Are you willing and prepared in the interest of so-called progress to abandon all of the core beliefs, primary values, and ways of being in the world that some of us remember and that in many ways have helped humanity for generations to move forward in its journey to higher consciousness? Are you willing to accept a world that's so at odds with itself, so out of touch with the balance of natural law? Are you willing to accept a world in which millions of us pray in piety on Sundays and then go out into the world on Monday to live lives that lacks genuine support for other members of the species, for the well-being of other life forms, and for the stability of the very habitat on which we live? Are you willing to accept a life in which the gap between those of us who have and those of us who do not keeps getting larger, where poverty, disease, violence, and ignorance continue to be experienced by so many millions of our brothers and sisters here and around the world. A world in which we continue to base most of our decisions solely on the economic impact, and few, if any of them, on the right of human beings to live the lives we were born to live. Are you ready to continue electing leaders who, out of ignorance or arrogance, deny the lessons of history, the wisdom of our ancestors and elders, and who do not understand the natural laws and, in turn, seem willing to bet the farm and our future on unproven technologies and a religiously filtered interpretation of science? If your answer to these questions and others of similar import are no, even if no is only a barely audible whisper, then I suggest we consider the wisdom of the old cliche that says if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten. Or said another way, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a new result. So what can we do? We can ask ourselves what happened to the way of life we remembered and valued, and we do. When we do, ask ourselves if it actually ever existed except in our minds. Are our memories only fairy tales, nostalgic and emotionally colored reflections? In short, are we glorifying the world we grew up in, or did some of it actually exist? If we discover that our memories hold romantic illusions, but also some truth, some value, some things we do not want to lose, then perhaps we ought to be asking ourselves another question. Is it too late? I can't speak for you, but when I ask myself this question, something bubbles up to the surface, something innocent and hopeful, something that seems to issue more from my heart than my head. Something else happens as well. I feel a resurgence of optimism, a sense that I'm still alive and that there are others like me who remember and who understand the value of doing what's necessary to ensure that it's not too late. Others who also believe it's still possible to leave authentic, meaningful lives. How do we take this ship of state toward calmer waters? Take charge, take back your power, remember what you and other generation Xers and boomers and elders have done, remember the great social movements of the 20th century. So what do you think? When you ask yourself these questions, what are the answers that come up in your heart? Do you think it's too late, or do you still have hope? Can we bring sanity, love, compassion, consciousness, and positive focus back to America? I think we can.
I agree, George. We can. And we'll try continually next week, or we'll do another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. I will have another conversation segment with Thomas Moore. It's really good. It's about a religion of one's own. And
next
George,
week, we're going to talk more fully about some great stuff we're doing. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com has a lot of information. www.elder-core.com. More. Come play, join, celebrate, learn. Let's make life different. Let's make it better. Let's listen to Eva Cassidy. That's what we need to do.
I think so. Goodbye for now.
That I heard of once in a lullaby song, where over the rainbow skies are blue.
Is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.